Good morning. This is Beth Smith. I'm interviewing Catherine Hayden, and we're up at the Buena Vista Golf Course this morning, where she lives. And we're going to talk about Catherine's life in Salida and the surrounding areas. All right, Catherine, can you start back with your parents?
I'll start off with my name, Catherine Olive Judge, and I was born July 7th, 1935. At 738 G Street, Salida, Colorado. Dr. C. Rex Fuller was the doctor. People used to be born at home a lot. My father's name was Theodore James Judge Sr. He was born October 13th, 1901, in Granite, Montana.
What did he do for a living?
Well, he did several things. His stepfather, they had first moved to Salt Lake City, and his parents divorced, and so then he had a stepfather, and they first moved to Cripple Creek Victor, and his brother, who was just a baby at the time, this was after 1911, he pulled the name out of the hat as to what town they were going to move to. So anyway, the town was Salida. So they moved to Salida, and the parents opened a cafe, and it became the best cafe in town.
Where was that cafe?
This is next. They also had a butcher shop. The butcher shop is where First Street Cafe is right now, and the restaurant was next door, and they lived upstairs over the restaurant. And so anyway, he became a cook, and then I don't remember if he went to 9th or 10th grade in high school. So then he learned whatever math or whatever in that time, and then he went over to during the Depression or before. I don't know for sure just which way it was, but anyway, he worked as a steward at the Elks Club. He was an Elks member, and so he, during the Depression, he worked there. And then also he started repairing radios, and he worked for Les Lippard, who was the electrician in town. And then he became a city council person. Correct. Wonderful. Political correct.
Yes.
But anyway, Ralph Reardon, who was a city clerk, kind of wanted to do something else, so my dad became a city clerk. And then he was, I don't know for sure, well, I guess it was 1942, he was elected city clerk, and was city clerk from 1942 to 1969 when he retired.
Good, yeah. Now, how about your mother?
Well, my mother's Nellie Edith Starbuck. She was born June 26, 1905, in Mountain Grove, Missouri. And her family came to Colorado. We always thought she came in a covered wagon. She was pretty upset about that. She came on the train. But she got to Salida, and they went by wagon over to San Luis Valley somewhere. I'm not just for sure. Her grandfather was Enos Starbuck, and he was a preacher, Baptist preacher, over in San Luis Valley. But anyway, then they moved back over to Salida. Did I mention she was 6 years old? Right about 6 years old. They moved back to Salida, and Seth Starbuck was the dairy farmer here, and her father was not a good person, and he did this and he did that. And then he abandoned the family in 1920, 24. And so my grandmother's, Sadie Starbuck, had quite a hard time raising the kids. But, of course, there was 20 years difference between my mother, or maybe my Uncle Seth, and the youngest child. So they're, the older children helped raise the younger kids. Mm-hmm. And my mother worked as a waitress there at Burns Cafe, which was my dad's folks' cafe. So that's how come they got together and got married, and they started their family.
How many children did they have?
They had 6 children.
Now, can you give me your names?
Irene Marie, she was born May 8th, 1929. She was born at my grandmother's house. Theodore James Jr., 9/16/30. He was born at the hospital. And then Edith May was born October 7th, 1933. And I think she was born at my grandmother's house. Josephine, we'll see, well, I was born. And then Josephine Ruth, she was born June 9th, 1937. At 7:38 G, and Doris Joan, born May 11th, 1939, at 7:38 G Street. And after my mother, well, after my brother died, actually, my mother died in 1997, and my brother died in 1998, and he never married. So then we sold the house in 1998. Otherwise, we had been owned for many years.
So that's great.
So where else do we want to say
well,
that?
Well, let's go back to your childhood. You were living there on G Street.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you do for fun?
Oh, yeah, what we did for fun. We did real, real tame things. One of our favorite things to do was after all the street used to be dirt, and then after we got the curb and gutter, we liked to put twigs in the water that would come down from the rain and watch the twigs go down to 7th Street where there was a drain. And of course, the drain's still there. But it was fun to watch twigs go down the drain.
Sure, they still do that.
And then there used to be a girl that would take cows from down in the addition, milk cows down in the addition, and she would drive them across 7th Street over to the pasture that's on beyond where Longfellow School is.
Now, what do you mean by the addition? I don't know what that was.
The addition is Chillicott, all those other named streets down there. Well, just a moment.
That's between Salida and the river.
No, well. I didn't know you were going to ask that question. Okay. The addition is Park Avenue, Dodge Street, Maxwell, Chillicott, Nichols, Illinois, State Street, Milford, Teller, Blake, Palmer, Hunt, Vine, Walnut, and Oak Street. That's the addition.
I see.
I mean, but it's, my mother always said that that's the, how those streets run is true with the world, with north and south. The rest of us are always crooked. We aren't north and south.
That's right. I understand that the roads,
they come down there and you have to go crooked to get to those other streets.
I understood that they came out in a fan from the railroad station.
Right. It was, you know, straight out from Tenderfoot.
So she drove the cows down to the pasture west of Longfellow School.
Uh-huh. And then Longfellow School used to be a block square. It was from It was on 8th Street from 7th to 8th. It was H to I, 7th to 8th. And there used to be, on 7th Street, a ditch that had lots of water. Like I said, that's where we saw our twigs disappear. And there used to be huge cottonwood trees there. And they were so much fun to just be under the play under the cottonwood trees and jump the ditch. And then, of course, when people got to thinking, well, then that's a dangerous thing for children to do. So they got rid of the ditch. They got rid of the trees. And it's hot and humid. Very hot place to play. But anyway, you don't have a ditch there anymore.
And how about your schooling?
All I remember mostly about the school is that it was just the friends that were there. I don't really remember about schooling, except for I was not good in spelling. And in the fourth grade, Mrs. Holman put me and several other kids in the dumb bunny row. But she taught us how to read. And I've enjoyed reading all the rest of my life.
Wonderful.
But I thought, well, gee, those other kids were kind of lucky doing something else while we were being taught to read, but it was very good thing to have.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you went on to junior high?
And went to junior high. And then, of course, when we went to junior high, we got to see the kids that had been over at McRae and all of those other, the Catholic school and the country schools. We all got to know all these other kids.
Was it called Kesner Junior High at that time?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Kesner Junior High ever since it was built.
And then I suppose you went on to Salida High School?
Went to Salida High School, and then, I don't know, we had a very good class. We had lots more kids when we were freshmen than when we graduated. We had 58 when we graduated in 1953.
All right, what'd you do when you got out of high school?
Well, I didn't know what to do, so I knew I was, there's no way to have any money to go to college or anything. So I didn't even think about it. But anyway, I got a job at, a first job, though. Forgot about it. I worked at the Chamber of Commerce typing letters, because that was before copy machines. So I typed letters. And then that was just a temporary job. I knew that when I took it. And then I got a job at Hay Studio working for Miss Helen Hanks. And she, you just wait on customers. And then she kind of taught me how to retouch negatives, because the film wasn't too good in those days, and there were little white spots on the film that had to be filled in, for the portraits and
whatnot. That was a photography studio then, huh?
Right. Uh-huh. And then, of course, she did all of the developing the film, the negatives, and making the prints. But she never did teach me how to do that. But then I guess she always figured out it was a much faster job to do it herself. So anyway, that Teresa Venturo was the other clerk. And I guess it was in January, maybe later than that, March or April of 1954, she sold the business to the Roy Morrises. And then they didn't have, since they both were going to work, that they just needed the one clerk. So then I didn't have a job anymore. So then a job opening came through for the Farmers Home Administration. So I worked as a clerk typist for the Farmers Home Administration for, 1954 through 1958, maybe. I can't remember for sure, because I had gotten married and had a daughter, and she was being babysit by my sister Irene. and got to thinking that I should be home with my own babies. So,
well, you married Don Hayden, right?
Yeah, I married Don Hayden, Donald C. Hayden. He was also born in Salida, January 10th, 1922. And so he was 13 and a half years older than I was. But he lived down at 343 Blake Street, and he had one of those milk cows that I told you about that was being herded over to pasture land. And those were, I mean, the nice, tame, smart cows. They just knew to just keep on a-walking, and the girl just kept a-herding them.
Can you tell us something about his background, his family?
His mother was Frances Lee Norman, and she was a school teacher. And she had taught down at Coaldale, where she met my father-in-law, Clarence James Hayden. He was born at Coaldale, Colorado, in 1894. And his parents had homesteaded there in 1882, the ranch there at Coaldale.
That's the one that's called Hayden Valley now.
Well, it's Pleasant Valley.
Oh, Pleasant Valley.
But it's Hayden Pass. Ah. Hayden Pass and Hayden Creek.
Those are all named after.
Well, so one of them was by, I can't think of that guy, the surveyors whose last name was Hayden. Said he was named for the pass and the other for the creek. But my mother-in-law was born in, at a farm near Wheeling, Missouri. And she was born January 11th, 1899. And her mother died in... she had a sister, Ruby, and then... my mother-in-law had a sister, Ruby, and a brother, Stanley, H. Stanley Norman. But their mother died when Stanley was 7 months old. She died from complication of childbirth. So then an aunt, Anna Johnston, helped raise the children. And her father's name was Elmer I. Norman, and he had tuberculosis, so he moved to Canyon City because of the tuberculosis. So that's why my mother-in-law went to school, graduated from Canyon City High School, and then she went to Greeley for her education.
And she was the teacher.
And she became a teacher. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's how come she got to Coaldale. And then she moved on up to Salida and taught at McRae School. And then, of course, when McRae School was torn down to be the land for the post office, that she was transferred over to Longfellow School. And she taught over there. I believe she, Jeanette, my oldest daughter, went to school at Longfellow, and I think she just made first or second grade before my mother-in-law retired.
Well, let's talk about your kids. You and Don had three
children? We had three children. Jeanette Louise, born July 15th, 1957. And that happened to be her grandfather Hayden's birthday, July 15th, 19. Of course, he's 1894. And then James was born in March 30th, 1961, which was a year after his grandfather, Clarence Hayden, had died. And what's strange is that my grandchildren were born on March 25th, the same day that my grandfather died, great-grandfather died. Daniel Daniel James Hayden was born in Salida, March 25th. Can't remember the year. But then Angel Lee Arellano was born March 25th.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So it's thought that was kind of strange, different.
And where are your children now?
And Jeanette still lives in Salida. She's working at the bartender at the Elks Club, like her grandfather did. And Mary lives in Monroe, Wisconsin. And she has the four children. But the boys, Daniel, Clayton, and Dustin, were all born at the Salida Hospital. And but their daughter, which was born in Monroe, Wisconsin, and she's now 11, well, going on 12.
That's a nice family. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to Salida that you remember when you were growing up and living there for so many years.
Well, and talking about simple pleasures, that's another picture I didn't show you of the Presbyterian Church. Used to be on the corner of the 3rd and F Street. And it used to be a lot of fun to go up the stairs. They were on the corner. And I can't see that picture right away, of course. But anyway, we went up the 3rd Street side and down the F Street side. And it was just up, down, and up, and down. We maybe made two or three trips going up and down. But where we were headed was down to Woolsworth, because that was the five and dime store. That was the only place in town for us to spend our money. And that's really about the only place in town that I remember going. But then on 3rd and F Street, on the catty corner from the church, was a Salida fish pond. And they used, in the summertime, they had great, big, huge fish in the fish pond. And then, of course, over the years and whatnot, the cement cracked and wouldn't hold water anymore, so then they demolished it, and now that's where the Senior Citizens Center is.
Now, you're a United Methodist right mm-hmm. now. Do you remember anything about that church?
No, because until I was 21 years old, I was a member of the First Baptist Church, which is catty corner from the Methodist
yes.
Church. But some of the things I remember there is the Sunday school teachers would have Easter egg hunts for us in their backyards. And then we had Bible study, or not Bible study, vacation Bible school. And our treats were graham crackers and milk. Very low-key. And then when we went there, we would tie our offerings in the end of our handkerchiefs. And I was going to try to find a handkerchief to see if I could remember how to tie a coin in the end. Because, of course, nobody uses handkerchiefs anymore. It's always Kleenex and whatnot.
Right. Right. Are there any particular characters you remember in living in town? Maybe you're a little older than after you were married, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Any people that stood out?
Joe Perry. He was a city employee. And he drove the water wagon to keep the dust down on the dirt streets, and then later on, well, of course, I imagine he did the grader all the time, to get the snow off the streets and whatnot. We always heard Joe Perry coming by. We would run out to the front to wave at Joe Perry. He was lots of fun. And then one time or other, I don't know why, well, of course, my dad was city clerk, and so then they were cleaning the reservoir out there on Little River, where they take all the Christmas trees now to dump, that they were cleaning the reservoir, and we got to go out and watch them clean the reservoir. course, now the I don't know. It wasn't covered at that time. So, of course, now it is covered.
Mm-hmm. When did you go to work for the city?
I went to work at the city in 1977, October 1st. So I just have been... See, that was 26 years ago. And then I worked for 17 years, and I retired on September 30th, 1994. So it was exactly 17 years.
Well, with your connections to the city, then, do you remember anything particular about the growth of the city, changes?
Well, just as I was getting ready to, well, I guess a couple of years before I retired, we were going to computers. And computer this and computer that, and it was a chore. I think Tony Gentile, who was a city clerk, decided to retire because they were putting the general ledger on computers, and since he had been doing the bookwork all the time, he knew what his balance was. He was in balance with his books, and with the computer, he just never trusted it. They said, well, this is your balance. But he says, I can't see it. I don't think so.
Is that when you...
So then
I
only worked another... Well, he retired in March, and I retired in September.
I see. Who do you think was an outstanding mayor?
Well, of course, Ed Tauber. But before him, it was Fenton J. Dufton. He was the... Well, he was a merchant downtown. He had several stores. He had the Red Front store, and then I think the Red Front store became Dufton's store. That's where Hot Shots is right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he was just a really good man. But anyway, of course, Ed Tauber was great.
He was a mayor for many years, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was there for I don't know how many years. Mm-hmm. But he was mayor before my dad retired, so that had to be before 1969.
Okay.
Maybe it was back in 1966 or so. I mean, but it was in there somewhere.
Do you remember when they put the S up on S Mountain?
Well, no, I don't, because it was before my time.
Ah.
My aunts Alma and Aunt Lucille DeLong's, my Aunt Alma Starbuck and Lucille DeLong's graduating class had something to do about getting that up. And,
about when?
Well, I don't know. Virginia J. was in that class, and you'd have to go ask her.
Okay.
But it was back there a long time.
Now, the Hot Springs Pool is something that is really nice for Salida. Do you remember anything about that?
Oh, yes. We used to take swimming lessons there. And Mac McTheaters, I don't know if I spoke about him before, but he was kind of the summer recreation person. He was a school teacher, but he was a summer recreation. And he taught us all how to swim, and it was wonderful. And there used to be a little train that went around the track, and we used to play, go on that. Not too often, because it cost money. But we always had to go up over the tracks, you know, when we walked to the school, to the swimming pool. But he also took us on hikes up the Red Rocks, and that was a lot of fun. But we didn't know about being political correct then. We left our pop bottles and our paper sacks and whatnot up there on that beautiful sand pile that's up there. It was so much fun playing in that. And then, of course, years later, I saw that sand pile. It wasn't nearly as long and big as what I remember it as being.
All right, now where is that Red Rocks?
Well, Red Rocks, that's another thing. When we were... in Campfire Camp, Campfire Girls, we went to Red Rocks to hike, and we went across the bridge at the end of D Street and under the railroad tracks and up the gully to go to Red Rocks. And then, well, you could either do that or go on up over to Tenderfoot, but it depended on which hike you were on. If you were going to the Tenderfoot, well, then you went over to Tenderfoot. But we usually went up to Red Rocks because that just seemed to be so much fun.
Now, you talk about the Girl Scouts.
Campfire Girls.
Oh, those Campfire Girls. Pardon me.
No, I never belonged to Girl Scouts.
Okay. What'd you do with that?
Well, we had meetings, and we learned how to do projects, I guess kind of like 4-H now or something rather. But we had WOHELO. That's for work, health, and love. And then it was all just on Indian type of things. Then we went to Campfire Camp. Well, then we did all kinds of little projects.
Where was the camp?
It was up at Poncha Hot Springs. Mm-hmm. And then I guess I told you before we started taping about the swimming pool there. It had a great big huge wooden shell over it, and it quite mysterious and lots of, well, quaint type of things, but it had a pipe over the top that dribbled water down, like I guess it does at the new swimming pool. I haven't really been in to see that, but it was hot water. And now there used to be a real big log in there that you would try to get on, but since it had been in the water, it got kind of slimy or slick or whatever, and you couldn't get up on that log. It was too slick. And then now they tore it all down, and it's just a hole in the ground. And another thing about Campfire Camp is we had really nice restrooms, but it was hot water that went through the toilets, and that was just kind of a strange feeling when you sat down on the toilet. But then down at Ajo, New Mexico, in the gas station that we stopped at, there was a toilet that had that hot water in it, and that's the first time and only time that I've ever had hot water. And then when we were up there, well, then we learned the names of the peaks, because you could see all the peaks all around from there. So, of course, I got to sometimes, well, I didn't have good eyesight. I didn't wear glasses at the time. So I learned the directions that Buffalo Peaks is there, Shavano's over here, and whatever's over there. Mm-hmm. But so then when you come up 291 and turn, that's about the best view you can get of Buffalo Peaks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. When you got a little older, was there any other organization you belonged to?
When I was married Don, I joined the Methodist Church, and Dorothy Odd, who is now Dorothy Purdy, invited me to United Methodist Women, which was Women's Society of Christian Service at that time, WSCS. And so I started there, and I belonged to the Wesleyan Circle. And I belonged to that for many years and that met at night. So I belonged there for many, many years. And then later on, I belonged to the League of Women Voters when you first started that. And then, I think that was it.
What about other organizations in town that other people were interested in?
Well, my dad was an ELK member for many, many years. He was exalted ruler in 1929, and he went to Chicago. And I think, and when he was there, his stepsister was calling to wanting to know if he wanted to come to Arizona and work in a restaurant with them down there in Wickenburg, Arizona, and he decided not to.
Do you remember any Ku Klux Klan organization?
No, just from what I have heard in more recent years, I never knew anything at all about that. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there were the Odd Fellows and Rebeccas. I did become a Rebecca, but not... I was a paying member, but not a very good... But my dad was an Odd Fellow, and he would cook oyster stew for after lodge. And so then I learned that fresh oysters are only fresh in the months that have an R in them. And if you don't, they're not fresh. Or you can't get them. I guess you could now, I mean, since things have changed so much. There used to be lettuce sheds down there by where... First Street, First and G, I guess, that the farmers around Salida used to grow a lot of lettuce, and then they would, I don't know for sure where they get all of the ice, but then they'd get all the ice on them, and then they'd ship them out to New York on the trains. Oh, that's another thing I wanted to tell you about. When you want to mail a letter, in the olden days, you went down to the behind the depot there that has since been torn down, and you mailed your letter, whether you wanted to go east, the box that said east, or the box that said west, and that it would be put on the train, and there was a mail post office on the train, and they would cancel your letter and get it sent off to where it needed to go. And then Ethel Purdom used to work for the, she was a character too. She was, worked for the society editor for the Mountain Mail or Slidadale Record, whatever it used to be known as. But anyway, maybe it was the Mountain Mail, that she would go down to see who was getting off of the train and who was getting on the train and where they were going and who they were going to see. And we had a nice society page, and people knew where people were going. And it used to be that she would call you up and say, she wouldn't even say who she was, she would just start talking, and you knew who it was. It was Ethel Purdom, because she did have that distinctive voice. And what, she was another person that was kind of related to my husband's family. She was, he had a cousin, Harold Runyon, and the Frazees, because Ethel Purdom was a Frazee, and she was related to, some way or other, to the Runyons. So anytime anything about the Haydens came up, she would put it in the newspaper, because everybody from Coaldale, she would always see to it that it was in the newspaper.
She worked for the paper for a long time, didn't
oh,
she?
Oh, yeah, just a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And my best friend was Kathleen O'Connell, and her father, John M. O'Connell, had owned the newspaper. And one of the fun things that she showed me was, I went with her on her paper routes and to collect money and whatnot. But anyway, one of her jobs at the mail was doing piecework, and they had this press that you put the stuff in, and then it would go, and then you'd come back and you'd take it out and put that in, and it would go, and then...
Each paper had to be handled separately.
It was separate. So it was lots of fun to do, watch being done, because if you had to have good hand-eye coordination to get that hand press going right. But I wanted to tell about one of the most fascinating thing I ever saw in my life is when we were on the went to my mother's cousin's farm, Harry Smith. It's SMYTH, and their farm was between County Road or Highway 291 and Highway 285. They had raised milk cows, and they had a milk separator. And that's the most fascinating thing I ever saw in my life, was the cream comes out here and the milk goes over there.
About what year was that?
Well, it had to be before I was 10, six or seven. And they also had apple press, and got to see them make apple cider. And they didn't wash the apples off or anything. They just got them in their barrels or bushel baskets and poured them in, stems and all, skin, everything, and just made a press, and out comes the juice. That was fun. Mm-hmm. And I can't think of much of anything else, except for we used to have a lot of vacant lots, and we'd always cut across them to save going around the corner. There used to be, my grandmother used to live at 824 D Street, and that's up close to the high school, and then there was the Berkners lived on the corner, and then there was this big vacant lot, and then my grandmother's house. And anyway, we would come across 8th Street and cut through a little bit of the alley and through that lot and on to school, instead of going down to Mr. Berkner's corner and up.
When you were in school, were there any favorite teachers you liked particularly?
Oh, well, of course, I liked Mr. Rouse. He taught bookkeeping, and I just loved bookkeeping. And I had to quit. I was going to, you know, take kind of the secretarial course, but I could not spell, so I just could not take shorthand. I just couldn't do it. But I liked typing and bookkeeping. And so then instead of that shorthand, I took biology, and I got A's in biology, because it was an interesting subject to me. And so Tony Delmonico taught that. He was a coach. But, let's see. Joe Soles. Everybody had stories about Joe Soles, but to me, he was just the math teacher. But I took general math. I didn't take the higher math. But so many of the boys, especially in the class of 1951, took the math, and they all were just super at math because of the higher learning, and Joe Soles was a good teacher for the higher math. And then I had Miss Ruby McKenna, was my 7th grade math teacher, and so when I got to know her in the Methodist Church, it was hard to not call her Miss McKenna, because I always knew her as Miss McKenna. And then, let's see. Oh, and then Frances Rouse. She was the math teacher for the 8th grader, and she was also the P.E. teacher, girls' P.E. teacher. And she was lots of fun. And of course, her husband then was Dean Rouse, who was the commercial teacher. But we enjoyed Mrs. Rouse, and they never had any children. So I guess our class of girls or something or other, my friend Phyllis Mize and I, and some of the other girls that took Girls Athletic Association, they were kind of more her family. So I can remember we went over to Monta Vista one time, and it was in the winter, and coming back, well, we had snow on the road, you know, that wasn't there in the morning when we went over, and I seemed to be the only one that knew how to put on chains, so I put on chains. But we got home okay, and she did have chains, so we could put them on.
Well, now think about downtown Salida. What businesses do you remember from way back when?
Well, it used to be Cruz Bags and Everybody's and Lewis Candy Kitchen and First National Bank. They were on the left side. And on the right side was Coster, And then B and C, I don't know what he called, B and C store, I guess. I mean, if you, it was a kind of a clothing store, but you, they could find most anything you needed to have. If you wanted, didn't want this style, well, they could find you that style. And then there was the Issus Theater that I was in only once. And let's see, what's the name of that store? Ed Finn had it. Ed Finn and his aunt. And then the flower store, Ned's Shoe Repair, and McDonald's store. McDonald's was a clothing store also. And they had those money changers that went up the cord and over to the bookkeeper and back over and down with your change. Yeah. I don't know what that's called. And then we had the filling station on the corner. Bob Kurtz had it. And I guess when I couldn't remember about it, but other people said Chet Rand had the Conoco store there.
What banks station. Were in town?
What?
What banks were in town?
First National Bank. Then First National used to be across the street at one time, and there used to be a Chaffee County Bank a long time ago. And, but when I was growing up, there was one bank. The building and loan was down down F Street. It was Boys Market and Woolsworth. Oh, yeah, Woolsworth was a lot of fun. And then Slatter Building and Loan. And then Patterson Hardware. And then the bakery, and then another little shop that I don't remember what was, and then Moto Day, and then there was a restaurant, and then the men's store. But at the Slatter Building Loan, you put your money in there and you saved money. You didn't write checks on it and not save money. So, but that was, you know, had our banking at First National Bank and the savings at building loan.
Now, what do you think has been some of the significant changes in the whole town?
That there aren't any variety stores downtown. There aren't any variety, any place like, I forgot about Gilbert's. It was on up there by Lewis Candy Kitchen, Gilbert's Dress Shop. And I bought almost all my clothes there. If I didn't buy them there, I bought down in the next block at Mrs. Sharp's. But the other day I had on clothes that everything I had on was made in the United States, U.S. of A. Every single thing. And I can't say, well, let's see, this was.
No more.
But no more. That's no not, more. Things aren't made in the United States.
Can you remember in World War II or some of the other wars that what happened in Salida?
Well, World War II, my Uncle Albert was in Germany, and when we would get letters from him, we would get our atlas out, and we would try to find where he was on the map. And that's about all that I... He was the only one that was overseas. And my Uncle Arthur, he was in the Army, but he was down in Texas at a hospital doing something. I don't really remember what.
Were there any organizations in Salida?
Oh, yeah, but I didn't know about that.
You were a bit too young.
I was too young for that. But my husband got cigarettes from... somebody, USO or somebody that they had. But what I remember about the war is the blowing the whistles and whatnot around town and bells ringing saying that the war was over. Mm-hmm. See, then I was 10 years old at that time. Mm-hmm. So I don't really remember much about that. They did have all of the people's names on the wall there at... it was Alexander Drugstore at the time, but it's Lawyer Pharmacy. He has a picture inside that shows all the names on there. So
now there was a lot of epidemics of flu and polio and so on. Was Salida affected?
Yes, it was, but that was, of course, well, the worst one there in 1918. My aunt, great-aunt and great-uncle, Uncle Seth Starbuck and Martha Starbuck, they lost three children in 3 days.
From the
1918 flu. Oh, yeah, the oldest boy and the two youngest children that were twins. They lost those three. Mm-hmm. Enos, Martha, and Matthew. Mm-hmm. I believe it was Matthew. And then my mother had a sister die right about that time, but she died from pneumonia.
Mm-hmm. Polio in 1950s or something.
All I remember about that is they closed the swimming pool. We couldn't go swimming. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't really too hard to take, you know. We just did our neighborhood games and whatnot. We used to play ollie ollie oxen free and kick the can. Very simple pleasures.
Well, you've really filled me in on a lot of history in Salida. I hope it's going to help the library too. And thank you very much for helping us out.
Well, thank you very much. And it's time to quit because my throat is just about gone.
1 hour and 53 minutes. We've got a 2 hour tape.
Was that two whole? That wasn't 2 whole hours.
Yeah, that's what it says here.
Can't be, because you didn't come till 11.
Okay, well, maybe anyway, maybe it's 52 minutes. Maybe that's.
Well, I mean, that's plenty long.
Yeah, right. Now, how do I turn this off?
Well, I hope you did.
How do I do it?